Good morning. It's a huge weekend in Atlanta, and this is the Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I, Squid Billy Morgan. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael, don't ask him what the P Johnson stands for.
Yeah. Wait,
I think I mixed that up a little bit.
You got to start respecting people's speakers more in the morning, man. It's just, you know what?
No.
Hold on a second. Please don't turn the channel if you're out there in the car.
Let me tell you something. Here's the hypocrisy. Here is the hypocrisy. I can't say it on the air, but because it's technically a bad word in Spanish, but the caca that you're spewing out of your mouth is when Steak does the ridiculous, you have no problem. In fact, you like do all these body hand signal motions to welcome it in. But
Lane Kiffin fist pump, like where he sees it.
But when I do it to start our own show,
yeah,
you have this ridiculous reaction to it, and
I just I don't know what it is. I think you're closer to the microphone than he is, man. Like, I think you're just tighter in there. The volume of you.
I'm just younger and got a better voice.
10 feet away from the microphone than you are.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. Yeah, how could you tell? Because you're looking at the sky and the ground and doing all. You don't even look. I look at him. He's right
Lane
in it.
Kiffin.
It hurts. It hurts to hear. You need to have some respect for me and our show. And I'm not going to stand for it.
I'm just trying to get you to respect the listeners, that's all.
You're playing the role of other people right now, and I need you to play the role of you, all right?
I'm not sure when we've ever done a show by ourselves that I have not played this role. I don't know what you were looking for.
Well, I'm telling you that I've had enough of it. You need to stop disrespecting me. If you're gonna suck up to other people and give them this ridiculous credit for doing the exact same thing but worse, then you're not going to give me flack for it. So know your role. Know your role.
Don't say it.
Know your role.
Don't say the second part.
Know
of that,
your role.
Then we're really going to have issues in here. Halloween yesterday, man. I have one question leading into the show about your Halloween experience, and it's not about how much candy you gave out, or did you light a fire when it was 80 degrees outside, or did you pull the TV out in the driveway?
And I did pull the TV out.
The question is,
pulled the chairs.
Did you see a little girl in a princess outfit last night and think to yourself, "Oh my God, that's going to be little Squidette here in 2 years. That's going to be her just rolling down the street holding daddy's hand." Did that hit you at all last night? Did the big bad Bo get in his feelings seeing any little girls at Halloween last night knowing that he's got one on the way?
No,
a bun in the oven.
This little girl, she's probably like maybe 2, 3. I don't know because I don't know how tall she's going to be. She could have been a Johnson child, or she could have been like,
whoa. Don't you bring my kids into that.
I do all the time. Your kids are tall.
It's fun.
They're tall. My buddy Gardner, his kids, his daughter is I think she's like 8 or 9, and she's in gymnastics.
Tall girl.
And I said to him, I said, "Hey, are you prepared? And are you preparing her when she sizes out of gymnastics? Because she's already almost there." And he goes, "Yeah, we know this is gonna be a hobby." But She's a little girl, walks up, and she's got rollers in her hair. And I go, "Amy, look at this little girl. She's got these rollers are amazing." And the mom goes,
"Yes.
She's a crazy cat lady."
Yo.
Yes.
No, she didn't.
Yes. And I look down, and the little girl's holding the cat.
Yes.
And I was like, yes.
Yes,
and I looked at the mom, and I go, "Take all the candy you want. You guys have that's a fantastic outfit." But it was not princess. I go, "I want to be the dad that has the out-of-the-box, trendy outfit for their kid."
Yeah. Well, and a lot of those things. Here's the bottom line about kids on Halloween, and I know people out there listening to me will vibe with this today. All right, no matter what you plan on dressing them up as, you better have a backup, and you better have a backup to the backup. Because we went through 3 costumes yesterday before I could even get my kids to settle down. I thought I was going to have to throw hands with my 4-year-old yesterday. He was supposed to be Iron Man. His backup costume was a minion, and he ended up going as a dinosaur. You know what I mean? So I thought I was going to have to come out and knock knuckles with him. I was like, "No, sit down. Sit down and put your sight. Daddy, dinosaurs don't wear shoes. I don't care. You're wearing shoes tonight.
Dinosaurs don't wear shoes,
Daddy."
You should have said, "I mean dinosaurs, you know, kid."
he started roaring at everybody, man. I was "Sit down."
I love the fact that your son that when he plays when he goes in character,
yeah,
he does not.
He's in the zone.
He does. Well, no, he doesn't cut corners. He's like, I ain't wearing shoes, yeah. And I'm roaring at every person I see.
Yeah, he did. And he did, man. And it was a fun night. Man, we had a great night. Hopefully everybody out there listening had a great night last night as well, getting that Halloween trick-or-treating in. My kids got an unbelievable amount of candy last night. Unbelievable amount.
Well, we saw more trick-or-treaters. It was funny because last year we didn't see as many trick-or-treaters, and we were as close to the fire as we could get. This year we were as far back from the fire as we could get, and we saw a ton. I will tell you the moment that freaked me out a little bit.
Okay.
Is my neighbor – excuse me, he's my neighbor that I don't see, I don't talk to as much. He's one of my next door neighbors, and they're from South Africa. And so him and I, every time we talk for like an hour and a half, but then we won't talk for 3 months, just as more than a passing. And his daughter, when he first moved in, was tiny. Like, I don't even know if she was walking.
Newborn, okay.
She might have been walking, and then I saw her last night before she actually went as a dinosaur.
Mm.
She's so tall now.
Yeah.
Like, compared to what I still think of her as a little kid, like a toddler, and she's not really a toddler anymore. Mm. She's probably, like, Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, oh.
Yeah. Happens quick, man.
I looked at her and I go, oh, shoot. Like, they grow fast, don't they?
That's going to happen
quick.
Yeah,
that freaked me out a little bit.
Real quick, we got 60 seconds left. Want to touch on this Thursday night football game because I want to make sure we get as much Falcons in as possible. Texans against the Jets last night. The Jets being a 2.5-point favorite. We talked to Steak about it yesterday, man. Vegas knew something. No reason for the Jets to be a favorite in that game. They pull it off. A couple of late theatrics, a field goal that hit but opted to take the penalty and then ended in a doink at the end of the game, kind of flipped things. But Aaron Rodgers ended up doing some Aaron Rodgers things. The Jets get back in the win column. I know that was massive for them, but I don't know how much of it you caught last night with all that candy you're handing out. What'd you think of Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, the Texans? They've got some things to figure out themselves. They're still in Cinderella mode, those Texans, but they got some things to figure out.
Yeah, I don't think they're quite the team. That's why I question them being in the power rankings as high as they were. Offensive line play for New York was not very good last night in the first half. You had to drop the touchdown that wasn't. Once again, a player, Corley, is running in the end zone, and he drops the ball at the one-yard line. I don't understand it. They did look – it felt like Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams started to kindle magic up with Aaron Rodgers in the second half. But I think the Texans – Will Anderson was banged up at some point last night.
Yeah.
I think the Texans have some problems, and I don't know. It's hard to identify all of them, but the fact that C.J. Stroud made as good of plays as he made at times last night, and they still lost, it would be concerning to me.
Yeah, I agree. They're not full strength, but they kind of have to move forward with what they've got, right? And that's just kind of what D'Amico Ryans is looking at. All right, we're going to move on. I got to hit break. We're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and Dallas Cowboys. I walked in this morning. I said, Bo, watched some film yesterday on the Dallas Cowboys, and I watched one player who used to be my hero, and I got sad yesterday, man. But I think it's good news for Atlanta Falcons fans. We'll do that on the other side. Stick with us here on the Morning Shift. It's Mike and Bo, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Mike and Bo. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan. Look, man, talking a lot about the Halloween, the trick-or-treating. Bo got in his feelings last night, seeing a couple, you know.
All right, don't mischaracterize what I told you.
No, you said
that.
I started getting emotional.
No, I did not. I never used the words emotional. I said it hit me. The man that they can go fast.
Hit you emotionally.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It just
hit me. No, it's okay, man.
See,
Dad Bo is going to be so fun. Dad Squid is going to be the best, man.
You know what?
Just let it flow through you.
This show started late. Thank you, Dylan. It started at 6:04. And in 19 minutes of a show, I have realized that your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Is that right?
That's right.
Dang, it's only taken that long. 19 minutes. All right, that's fair.
Your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Okay. All right, but I'm just...
Because that's twice you've said something...
That's not true.
That's not true, and you've mischaracterized me, and you're being a hypocrite about it. Like, you know what else you're doing? You're projecting.
Oh, is that what...
Yeah, you're projecting.
Don't you put me on the couch to stare at the ceiling right now?
Yeah, it's Dr. Squid.
Dr. Squid.
I actually think Bo kind of cooked up right there talking about you projecting a little bit.
Is that what it is?
I do think you're projecting slightly.
My daughter dressed as Elsa last night with a light-up dress, like a battery-powered light-up dress. I was in my feels, man.
Thank you, Dylan.
She was definitely the princess of the neighborhood last night.
It's very acute of you, Dylan, to notice that.
I will not. See, I can
use big words when Tiffany's not here trying to intimidate me.
Acute has five letters.
Yeah, but it's still a word that's not very well used, and it's considered a big word when used in the right context.
I will not have a chance to put my daughter to bed Saturday night because I will be at the Atlanta United game. That coverage starts at 6 p.m.
You're welcome.
And the Atlanta United game will be at 7. The Hawks face off with Sacramento tonight. That's at 7:30.
They're a good team, though.
Sacramento's been a pretty good team. And the Hawks should be, but these injuries we talked about the other day are going to last, and they're going to linger for quite some time. And so we'll see how the Hawks can bounce back. Quinn Snyder get that drawn up. Hopefully they can get back in the win column because it was a rough stretch the last couple of games. The Falcons, however, will be facing off with the Cowboys on Sunday. Now, I mentioned this going to break. There was something about the film yesterday, watching Dallas against San Fran last week, that made me sad. And then I went back to the week before that, and I can't remember off the top of my head who Dallas played, but I watched the same film, and I thought, man, it's just got to be a one-off. Maybe it was San Fran that was just messing with his head, man. Zach Martin, dude. Zach Martin has been with the Cowboys 10 years. The guy, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer. He has played right guard at the elite of the elite levels for a long time. I saw his PFF grade early in the week, and I didn't want to believe it. I went out there, and I was like, PFF ain't always right. You know, it's situational. You don't ever know what these guys are being asked to do. He's like the 34th ranked guard in the NFL. I'm like, there's no way this Hall of Famer, this dog, is going to be ranked 34th. I saw what I saw, man, and I saw a 34th ranked guard. That's not saying you're the worst of the worst. How many starting guards are in the NFL? 64. Now, Chris Lindstrom on the flip is ranked at 2. And the guy, James Daniels, ranked at 1, is out for the year and has been out for a month. So I don't think his grade's going to go down at all. All right, maybe there's a snap minimum. All right, so Chris Lindstrom, all intents and purposes, the best guard in the NFL right now. Zach Martin, who should be and has been for a long time, he's not that guy. And I am just I want to get your feelings on this because we've talked about Grady. We've talked about Onyemata, who I don't think has shown the same ability that he did last year to try to get some things going. There might be some opportunities there this weekend, man, from that interior. Hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, but I'm upset that we don't get Rook this week. And he has not been ruled out, for the record. But he had his second straight DNP. I did not think that it looked like he would be a guy playing when I saw him leave the locker room Sunday. I looked at him, I was like, well, he's going to be out a couple weeks. That's just my sense. But, you know, I think you could get Troy Anderson back this week because he's been limited. But I think you get him back. I think that could help you there. And the reason I mean that is, look, if you can eat up, if Grady or Eddie or Onyemata or TQ can kind of eat some of these blocks and these linebackers can play physical and get off of instead and shed and stack, they might be able to take advantage of Zach Martin being a lesser player.
No.
And right now. And look.
Don't ever meet your heroes, man. Don't ever watch their film.
Honestly, Zach Martin's he's the last man standing.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that? I agree with you. This is a Dallas team, and I don't know if I realize it until now. This is a Dallas team that's going through a soft rebuild. I think they've established that they like CeeDee and they like Dak. But the fact that they weren't willing to go out and pay Derrick Henry first and foremost, and I don't know that they had the room to, and the fact that they've kind of let some turnover happen along the offensive line, along the defensive line, some of the other spots, like I'm not saying they're completely hitting the blow-up button, but when you look at their roster, Dallas is they're in a soft rebuild. They're like, all right, CeeDee and Dak are our guys, but everybody else, man, it's time for y'all to earn some money or we're going to go through the draft to get this thing kind of rebooted on the roster.
What if I disagree? But agree at the same time.
Oh, that's probably not that's not good radio. What do you got?
Well, I would tell you maybe offensively in the trenches, they're doing a soft rebuild. But I would tell you that defensively, they still have – now they're missing guys on defense, but they went into the season with DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, Deron Bland. Trevon Diggs.
That's a good point.
Jordan Lewis. Those are all pros.
The first three guys you mentioned are all pro players.
Donovan Wilson, still on the roster, right? Malik Hooker, still there. Those guys are all there. Now, obviously, Malik Hooker wasn't drafted in Dallas, but those guys are still there. And then you look at Jalen Tolbert, Brandon Cooks, C.D. Lamb, whether they're playing at a high level or not.
Right.
Jake Ferguson is a good tight end. Dak's still there. You know, you thought Rico Dowdle, who's been kind of banged up, was a guy that kind of step up. And Deuce Vaughn, I think Deuce Vaughn's probably not used as well as he is.
He's got to be so frustrating to play defense against because you can't see him until he's right in front of you. But he's like a guy, you know. It's like playing hide and seek in a forest with a little kid. Like just tucking behind the trees.
Dude's got 9 touches this season, so I don't know what's. Yeah. And I'm not gonna lie, I have not watched a ton of Dallas tape or film or studied them. I watched a little bit with you the Niners game we talked about the other day,
right?
Or you talked about watching the other day the morning, but. So they might be rebuilding in the trenches offensively, but they got Tyler Smith still. You know, they do have Tyler Guyton. He's a rookie. They got him out of Oklahoma in the first round this year, so it's a guy that they're trying to add on to. And then they got Cooper Beebe. So they got 2 rookies on this offensive line. So it's accurate in the trenches for them.
Yeah.
But overall, as a team,
of course, you know that's what I'm looking at, right? And you know what's funny? And you mentioned Tyler Smith, their left guard. He's a very good player and has been a guy that's been very solid for them. I think he's in his 3rd year. Over the last couple of years, he's been very good. I actually thought, on the flip side, I don't think his film that I watched matched up with what I think his grade is. Right now, he's like a top 20 guard grade-wise in the NFL. I didn't see that on tape. I thought he actually, in the game 2 weeks ago, you'll have to remind me who they played 2 weeks ago, I thought he actually looked worse than Zach Martin. He was ducking his head. He didn't look comfortable in run blocking. Their run schemes and everything else they're doing. And here's the rub, and we've talked about this. We talked about it a couple days ago. At what point do they think about adding Dak into the run game? And I say soft rebuild because I've looked at some of the things they've done, and maybe it's a reaction to the injuries they have had to Micah Parsons and Deron Bland and now Trayvon Diggs. I just wonder if they're like, man, it's just not worth it. Don't have the horses right now. We'll just wait till later. The fact that Dak has less than 20 carries this year is appalling to me. He's that guy that has to run the football in this offense, and he's not being asked to do that. It's almost reminiscent of what Jalen Hurts is when Jalen Hurts is a little gimpy, right? Jalen Hurts is a little gimpy. He's not running at full speed, but when he is, that offense goes. That offense is a good offensive line, great receivers, great running back, all these dogs around him. But if he's gimpy, it's not the same. I think a lot about the Dallas Cowboys like that with Dak Prescott. He's not running the football. They're not utilizing his legs. He's moving around the pocket, but he's throwing it downfield. They still have some explosives. But I don't see the same guy.
They had to bye 2 weeks ago. It was week six. They lost to the Detroit 47-9.
Exactly.
They've been outscored 77-33 in their last 2 games. Now, they've played Detroit in a weird, I would say, San Francisco team because of the injuries. You don't really know exactly what they are or what they're not, but it's still a .500 team. I told you going into the season, what did I tell you about Dallas? What was the one thing I said about Dallas, if you remember?
I don't know, man. The contract situations are hanging over their heads. They have to stay healthy on defense.
I told you that they were going to miss Dan Quinn.
And you know what? You did say that. I actually give you credit for that.
And you go, oh, Mike Zimmer, he's a good DC. And I think Mike Zimmer was a good DC.
There's a key word in there.
I don't think he is now.
Woof.
I don't think he was very good the last few years in Minnesota. Their defenses to me weren't that great. The defense, it just wasn't. I down the stretch, I don't think they are the worst scoring defense in the league. They're the second worst. They're 31st in scoring. They're 31st in rushing. They're 29th in yards per play in the passing game. They're the worst defense in the red zone, and they're not creating turnovers.
Yeah.
They're not creating turnovers. Whether that's the loss, some of that has to do with the loss of Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't know. But I'm telling you, this Dallas offense clicks a lot better when their defense is playing the way they've played in the past. And they're not. And at 7 o'clock, we're going to hear from Dak Prescott because he thinks he understands the magnitude of this game.
Yeah.
And he feels very confident going in. And honestly, if I'm an Atlanta fan, that should wake my butt up.
Mm. Got right? alarm bells going off for the Atlanta Falcons fans. So we'll hit the Falcons more at 7 o'clock today. We also got our picks later. We got Dave Archer coming up down the road. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit of college football. All right? The cocktail party this weekend. Is there a way for both teams to leave happy this weekend? And does a loss really even matter for the Georgia Bulldogs?
All right, You're asking too many questions.
We'll hit that coming up on the other side of the break. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 6:42, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Lots of college football to get to. There was college football played last night, probably some tonight, and a lot going on tomorrow. By the way, ding, I'll be at Buffalo's up in Hamilton Mill for the Georgia-Florida pregame party. If you want to stop by and say what's up, all right? And we'll listen. I'm going to try to console Bo today heading into that one, but I'm not going to bother him tomorrow for that game. Before we
Can I say something real quick?
I'm sure you will.
I appreciate how we interact with each other on game day if one of our teams is A, struggling, or B, loses.
Yeah.
Because nothing irritates me more than people you never hear from.
Yeah.
And you obviously point. I hear from you all the time because you know, I have to talk to you. I'm like forced to talk to you on a daily basis and vice versa.
Good way to put it.
But nothing irritates me more than when you don't hear from people for like weeks or months and they randomly text you when your team is losing and they don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, how convenient.
It's it's even worse for me because no matter how I even feel about the team or about what's going on, obviously people just are like, oh, let me talk to Mike about Alabama.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just like, dude,
different.
I don't want to talk about it. Right.
Ever.
I don't want to talk about it off the microphone sometimes on a text message from somebody I don't normally talk to. So there you go.
I'm more of the let's trash talk leading up. Once the game starts and is over, there's a moratorium. And I do believe, unless they have done it to me, I believe in letting people get over a loss before I come out. Like Sandra, she's a Florida State person. I don't rag her about Florida State losing every week until like Tuesday or Wednesday of each week.
Florida State, that's a whole other thing. Before we get to college football, before we get to the cocktail party, Jorge Soler is moved yesterday. I did not expect to be talking about a Braves trade on November 1st, I got to be honest with you. But nonetheless, your comments on this yesterday when this trade came through, I thought, were pretty spot on in what you texted to me and Dylon yesterday talking about the show today. I don't know what to think about it, but I wasn't sure how it was going to pan out anyways. It seems like they've just kind of thinned the herd a little bit in terms of the outfield and the lineup.
Yeah, it's a salary dump is what I look at it as. $26 million off the books over, I think, the next couple of years. You can only have so many outfielders who can't play defense and their swing and miss rate, you know, is high. I mean, I know Soler walked a good amount, but he, let's be honest, it's either home run or bust. He's very much like Marcelo Ozuna in a lot of ways. I think it's a salary dump, and I think that there's a really, 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 really good chance that Griffin Canning, who they got in return, could be tendered. If he's not tendered, he will definitely be a guy that will vie for the fifth starter spot come February and March. You know, he's 25 and 34 in his career. His ERA is a little under 5 for his career. He's a guy that throws 5 pitches, but he really relies on 3 more than anything else, which is his 4-seam, his change in the slider, mixes in a curve a little bit, and barely ever you'll see a sinker from him. I don't know it. We have to get down the road before I can accurately tell you what this will be from him. But I could see one or two things basically. He's either tendered, or he's going to vie for the fifth starter coming into spring training, and they'll see what they got then.
Mm. Love to hear it, man. And hopefully Jorge Soler finds a soft landing spot out there. Braves need to get things definitely pointed back in the right direction in terms of the old swing and miss rate. That's for sure. All right. Let's hit some college football. Dare I say, Bo, sneaky good weekend? Dare I say sneaky good weekend?
Yeah, it is. By the way, Ding, you asked me yesterday if I miss Gary Danielson.
Yeah.
I don't. I told you that yesterday. You know what I miss?
Hmm.
Turning on the TV at 3:30 and hearing this before an SEC game.
I know.
That's what I miss.
Yeah.
I
actually do miss Gary. I didn't get to put that in there yesterday, but I actually do miss Gary Danielson.
I miss hearing this music and then seeing Brad, my boy Brad Nessler, going, welcome in, and the Brad Nessler's voice. I think he's got one of the best voices for play-by-play anyways. Go ahead. I digress.
No, I can talk about it all day, man. I love that that CBS thing is something that will live with me for forever. It just feels like the 3:30 game doesn't hold as much weight anymore, and that's the problem. That's why I'm in my emotions about it.
It's such a good point because CBS got their pick, right?
Yep.
Of that game, and you would hear they always did a phenomenal job with the open, and then you would hear this music hit, and you'd see SEC highlights, and you'd see Brad and Gary sitting there, and boom. The crowd would be roaring, and you're about to get 3.5 hours of the best SEC football you can get most of the time.
The heavyweight matchup of the weekend. And that's what made it so special. That's why I do miss Gary. That's why I miss Brad. You don't ever, like, the 3:30 game on ESPN or ABC, you don't ever know who's even going to call it. You know what I mean? You're like, I wonder who's calling the game.
I can tell you who's calling the 3:30 game this week on ABC.
Tell me about it.
It's going to be Fowler and Herbstreit.
There you go.
Yeah, the A-team.
Yeah. A-team, that'll be fun to watch. Georgia 15-point favorite down in Jacksonville at Everbank Stadium. We talked about earlier in the week. Next year will be the last year for a couple of years it'll be at Everbank Stadium. But nonetheless, the neutral site matchup, as it always is, first weekend here in November, Florida and Georgia. I want to bring this up to you because I was talking to some buddies about this. Georgia isn't necessarily in charge of their own outcome in the SEC right now. Right, A&M, LSU still have everything in front of them. If the favorites went out, Texas beat Texas A&M, LSU beats Bama, everything works out, you're getting those two teams in the title game, right? Because of the strength of schedule tiebreaker.
But hold on now.
No, that's true. That's the absolute truth.
If Georgia wins out,
right,
they'll play A&M.
If Texas beats Texas A&M, which they'll be favored in.
No, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Texas.
I know, but it's about strength schedule.
But since when does head-to-head not count first?
Because they don't have a head-to-head with Texas A&M. That's why.
But it would Georgia and A&M would be the only one-loss teams.
No, Texas would be the one-loss team.
But Georgia goes over Texas. They beat them head-to-head.
I'm just telling you, man, how it all works out.
I refuse. Call Rusty Manziel.
Look at
Dylan,
it.
Text Rusty
Look
Manziel
at it.
Right now.
Look at it.
And ask him this question.
As a matter of fact, you know why? Because Texas wouldn't go in over Georgia. LSU would go in over both of them. That's why. There you go. That's your tie-breaking scenario. Anyways.
No.
I promise. I'm not crazy. I promise.
Oh, you're saying you're, in that scenario.
It would be LSU and A&M in a rematch.
In that scenario, there's like a four-way tie is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, I was just going head-to-head.
No. There's a four-way tie. That's what I'm saying. It's all about the combined
record. LSU's dead to me. They died last weekend.
Anyway, yeah. They died last weekend, even though they didn't. All right, so looking at Georgia's schedule, they get Florida. They're going to get Ole Miss. We mentioned that. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin mad that he doesn't have the nighttime matchup. Then you get Tennessee, and then you get the rambling wreck for Georgia Tech. My question is does it even matter? Because you're just controlling seeding at this point for Georgia. It matters to get a home game, right? But in the end, you're going to probably get in the playoff even with another loss if you're Georgia. It only matters about seeding and do you want to play at home.
Don't be so sure about that. Based on what all those teams that are still in the mix, I mean, if LSU wins out and somehow A&M wins out and those two teams play in the SEC title game, both those teams are in if LSU wins the SEC title.
So what you're telling me is if Georgia loses another game, which I don't believe they will. I'm looking at the schedule. I know that Tennessee will have a puncher's chance. Ole Miss, all these teams have a puncher's chance. I just don't think they will. I don't think they'll pull it off. Although Georgia hasn't looked invincible the way that we've grown accustomed to. But I guess what your point is if LSU and A&M play in the SEC title game, then Texas is still a one-loss team and having beat A&M, and then let's just say Bama wins out.
A&M wouldn't be in the title game though in that There's no way A&M's in the title game if Texas beats them.
No, yes, they are. That's how this works. We've talked about this.
I'm telling you, that's not that. There's no way that can happen because there's just no.
I'm
way.
Trying to listen no to me. To I'm me. Speaking facts to you. This is a well-known fact that if Texas beats Texas A&M and LSU beats Alabama, Texas A&M and LSU will play in Atlanta unless something crazy happens outside of that. But if everything, if all the favorites went out, because LSU's favored against Bama next weekend, Texas would be favored against Texas A&M. That's the scenario.
I don't know how we didn't.
I thought we crossed this off the list on Tuesday.
I refuse to recognize.
It goes down to strength of schedule as it shouldn't, but it does. All right, and so I guess my question kind of took a backseat. Does it even matter for Georgia, if Florida were not to knock them off this weekend?
It does.
Probably does because of seeding.
I'm going to tell you something. If A&M and LSU play, one of those teams is in automatically, and Texas only has one loss, I think Texas and a one loss is in over Georgia with two losses, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Because
it's hard to argue against.
Because they would have beat the SEC champion. That counts for something. And Georgia's got two losses, and one of those, you know, that's just how it goes. And one of those losses doesn't look that great right now because neither one of those losses would look great because they have a chance to be both 3 to 4 lost teams.
Well, odds are Georgia's probably not losing down the stretch, although, like I said, all four of those teams, a puncher's chance. Somebody can land a haymaker. Speaking of landing haymakers, we're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk about this Cowboys-Falcons matchup. We already knew. We talked about it earlier in the week. Cowboys, worst rushing offense in the NFL, right? But I got one stat. Even I wasn't ready for it, even knowing that. All right, we'll talk about that on the other side. It's the Cowboys. It's the Falcons. It's a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. It's the morning shift. Mike and Bo, a couple dogs off the leash this morning, man. And it is a huge, huge weekend of sports here in Atlanta. You got Georgia, Florida tomorrow. Shout out to everybody up at Buffalo's and Hamilton Mill. I'll be hanging out there for the pregame party. Tonight you'll have Hawks, Kings. And tomorrow you'll have Atlanta United facing off in the second game of this leg of the playoffs against Messi down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then Sunday, you got America's team, the Cowboys, that'll be rolling in to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to take on your first-place Atlanta Falcons. Man, we've kind of diagnosed this game about from every angle throughout most of this week. And we've paid a lot of attention to the running statistics of both teams. They have not been good against the run. They have not run the ball efficiently. They are dead last in yards per carry in the NFL. But
I kind of disagree.
What's that?
I think there's an aspect that we haven't broke down. I don't really want to do it. But, I mean, we could definitely break down the fact that if they cross the 50, they're in field goal range for Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah, I don't want to. Well, and look, man, he's been on jury duty a lot. He's been on jury duty a lot the last couple of weeks. Maybe he's not greased up in the hips.
He's 8 of 9 from 50 plus. So, yeah. And his long is 65.
Do you think he's been going and getting his kicks in after jury duty, or is it just like, man, I just have to hit him tomorrow? You think he's like leaving because dude, jury duty will suck the life out of you. You know how to do it earlier this year. It's brutal.
How many kicks do you think he had? I mean, how many kicks does a kicker kick during a practice session?
I don't know. How many woods does Woodchuck chuck? I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea, man. Maybe 50? I don't know. Maybe there's a kicker listening that can answer that question for us. Hit us up on the X at 929 Morning Shift, at MPJohnson79, at SquidBilly929 as well. So hit us up. The stat that I'm talking about. There is only one team in the NFL, that does not have a running play over 20 yards. Over 20 yards. There's one team in the NFL that doesn't have a running play over 20 yards, and it's the Dallas Cowboys. And when you look at what that offensive line used to be in Ezekiel Elliott's first tenure there, that almost makes me want to cry. And it's not because I like the Dallas Cowboys. It's because I firmly believe in running the football with efficiency, and when they had Zeke and Dak was running it, and you got this just, you know, this offensive line with three All-Pros and Zach Martin's not on the backside of his career, there was nobody better, man. But I'm just telling you right now, watching it, you can see that there's a reason they don't have a rush of 20 or more yards.
Well, and Tony Pollard, you know, that was the guy that they could have kept, and they might have still had a running game, but they're just weak. You know, Dalvin Cook,
yep.
that's your – I heard someone talking about Dalvin Cook the other day, like he was Dalvin Cook of like 5 years ago. They're like, I don't know why Dalvin Cook, they should have got him. And somebody goes, he's on their practice squad. Yeah, well, why has he been playing? Because he's not the same player.
It's just, we get kind of attached to these names, man, and it kind of, we think it's going to carry us the distance to talk about these names, and rarely ever does it, right? And Dalvin Cook's one of those guys. Everybody in the NFL could have had Dalvin Cook for a lot of the offseason and throughout much of training camp and everything else, and they didn't.
And most of the season because he's been on the practice squad.
That's a good point. Yeah, and they didn't. So that's not the answer to your issues. Ezekiel Elliott's not the answer to the issues. I fully believe, and even with Zach Martin not playing at an extremely high level right now, a lot of this is schematics and the fact that Dak Prescott is not being asked to run the football. Hey, we'll get Dave Archer coming up today at 8:20. Don't want to miss that. He'll preview this Falcons-Cowboys game with us. For right now, though, you're going to hear Dave Archer talk to Kirk Cousins. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Now time to catch up with our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, here on Countdown to Kickoff. And, Kirk, first of all, congratulations. I know it's a team deal, and that's, you'll defer to that, but Player of the Week again. In the first half of the season, already two Player of the Weeks for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, it helps when Kyle Pitts has a couple runaways, you know, for huge plays when I'm just kind of throwing to him and he's open and then he does the rest. You know, Bijan did a nice job, too, leaking out in the flat in the backside. Protection was good. Mooney's route was awesome on his touchdown. And then Zach's obviously given us at-bats, given us opportunities to move the football. So I've always said from the day I signed here, I'm a point guard. I try to distribute, and that's what I'm going to keep doing. And it's not an easy thing to do, but that's all I really try to do and let the guys take it from there.
Well, you're doing it at the highest level. There's no question about that. I want you to expound on the where the offensive line is right now. I know there was some things, some growing pains, maybe kind of figuring out what Zach wanted to do and those kind of things. But still, this offensive line, and I know you talked about it last week after the game. I mean, man, to be able to go through as many reads as you went through a couple times in that game, they're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, it makes a big difference for the type of game I play because I'm trying to be in the pocket. I'm trying to go through progressions. And so to give me that pocket makes a meaningful difference. I think the fact that they can do it both in the run game and the pass game is also tremendous. A lot of times an old lineman is usually either one or the other. So to have both is a big help. They're well coached and they're self-led too, and it's a really good group.
Your group that you're throwing the football to just continues to make plays for you, continues to be on the same page with you. Is there anything that is in the first half of the season now, we're kind of 8 weeks in going into our ninth game, that has surprised you about that group at all?
Well, I'm learning more about them, what they do well, how to kind of give them chances to be really successful. I think Zach, much the same, has learned a lot about the skill group and how to game plan accordingly. But I just think, you know, every week has been kind of a step forward, and I felt the Tampa game on that Thursday night, we really matured as an offense and had that shared experience that I think helped us grow, and we've been building from there. But I just keep asking a lot of them as playmakers to get open and to make my life easier, and they keep answering the challenge.
All right, let's take a look at the Dallas Cowboys. It's a team that's struggled some, and some of it has to do with some of the guys they don't have on the field. Yeah. Not sure who's going to be in this game. Potentially one of the better players in the league, and Micah Parsons could play in this game. When you see Dallas on tape, what do you see?
Well, you see a team that I think is more dangerous than their record because of what you just said. I think that, you know, there's some guys in the back end, too, I've played against for several years who have played really, really high-level football. So, you know, I expect it to be a real challenge, and I think Dallas has always played with great speed on defense, and I think we'll feel that. And so we have to show up with a mindset to match that speed and have an answer.
How much of does it matter that you know Mike Zimmer as well as you do and what he wants to do defensively?
Well, I think, you know, the scheme is really sound. And so even if you know the coverage they're in or if you know what they're trying to do, that doesn't mean you have the best answer because they still, you know, understand, you know, how to counter that. And you know, Eric Kendricks there is the signal caller, the green dot wearer making the calls. You know, he's been in the scheme a long time. And so I don't know that it gives too much of an advantage of any kind. And Coach Zimmer and Eric practiced against me for years. And so they likewise, you know, would probably have a similar knowledge. And I think that's part of the chess match that is football. And it'll be interesting to see how the game unfolds.
All right, last thing for you. You mentioned Bijan Robinson a few moments ago. And I try to to describe what he's like, and I can go back to guys I played against and saw and watched play. When you hand the football off to a guy like that, and he does some of the stuff he does to make people miss, I mean, you almost become a fan of that, don't you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I got a front row seat, right? There's nobody in the building who has the view that I have, but I think it's just about, can we get the football in his hands, and can we be somewhat creative with how we do it, but also not too complicated? You know, can it, there have been times, like in the Tampa game at the end of the half in the 2 minute, he runs a little swing route to the flat. He's matched in two man. I put the ball on him. It should be a 1 yard loss. He makes the guy miss and gains us 12 yards, gets us a first down, and gets out of bounds to stop the clock. So you realize, I'm just so glad I put the ball in his hands, because that's the key, is get the ball in his hands, and then he can do his thing. But yeah, giving him enough at bats in the run game, enough opportunities in the pass game, and then from there, once the ball's in his hands, he's got to go be, you know, who he's been, a dynamic player.
Thanks for your time, man. Go have some fun.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Got to get the ball in Bijan's hand. You got to do it creatively, but not make it too complicated. I don't know that I've ever heard a statement, Bo, that encapsulates what this offense is better than that one statement. Because that statement right there is the complete. We've talked about, does Atlanta have an identity? What he just said to me is Atlanta's offensive identity. Get the ball into Bijan's hands. Obviously, work on everybody else, and there's a number of other players having great years, but Bijan is the engine. And how many different ways can you get the ball in his hands when really you only have like two or three run plays? That's the key to me. So listen to him say that. He is so spot on.
Yeah, and even when he's talking about and he mentioned the 12-yard little, it's an outlet pass. It's a dump off, whatever you want to call it. It's a check down,
yeah,
whatever.
Swing, yeah.
Whatever. I mean, whatever the verbiage you
nomenclature.
I like to say the verbiage that fits your narrative the best, because I think there's a lot of narratives with check downs at times with certain quarterbacks. But he's like, you know, I'm just trying to get the ball out, and basically it's a dead play to Kirk. And he's like, I just got it out there to him, and the next thing I know, it's a first down. We've got 12 more yards, and he got out of bounds. So he did everything that I wanted to do if I was pushing the ball downfield. And I think you even hear Kirk talk about it. Even he's surprised what can happen at times when the ball is put in Bijan Robinson's hands. That's why he was drafted 8th overall, because he's more than just a 25 carries a game running back.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to go in the huddle, talk about all the NFL stuff.
Come on, that was a good
point.
Yeah,
you like that?
It was a good point, man. I brought it right there. I need more than,
Look.
Be excited.
You have a lot of words today, as my son would say. You have a lot of words today.
There's just two of us. All right.
Look, an all-pro quarterback calls his matchup this weekend a must-win, and it wasn't Dak Prescott. All right, another all-pro quarterback misses practice for the second time this week. We'll get you up to date on all the in-the-huddle stuff on the NFL weekend coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back here on the morning shift, talking all the latest NFL storylines. And the Jets, obviously, get victory last night. Stake pointed this out yesterday, and we knew it was a fishy line. Jets 2.5-point favorites against the Texans last night.
Yeah.
And you just knew that something was up with that one. I don't think the Jets look great, but nonetheless, a gritty win and a lot of athletic plays back there by that wide receiver core, dude.
Dude, what I love, and we literally just had this conversation off the air, but ESPN does these segments, fraud or not.
Fraud or laud.
Yeah, and they're literally asking if the Jets are a fraud and then if the Texans are a fraud. Well, yes, the Jets at 3-6 are a fraud. Wait, no, they're not a fraud. They're exactly who they are. How's that question even asked?
Yeah.
But then they ask the question about the Texans. Are they a fraud? And I find it. I remember Amy. What's her? The woman. She used to run the Raiders, and her first name Amy Trask.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
She has a quote that we used to use on Dukes and Bell in the soundbite. She goes, "I find it interesting."
Yeah.
And I find it interesting. Even, and I'm going to talk to Josh Kendall on Sunday in the press box, why are the Texans so high in his power ranking? Because I think the Texans could be one of the most overrated teams in the NFL.
And I agree with you. I don't think C.J. Stroud's overrated.
Not a C.J. Stroud thing.
No, that's my point, though, is like how many roses did we throw at Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud last year? And they're not the same offense. They're not the same offense that they were a year ago. And I don't know exactly what has changed. I'd have to do a deeper dive, but it's not the same. So I'm with you on that. And they don't get it done against the Jets last night. On the flip side, The whole Woody Johnson thing when they let go Robert Saleh and saying, you know, we'll get the fired coach uptick. You know, we'll get all the players playing a little bit better.
Mm-mm.
I guess it maybe finally come around, Mm-mm. but I think this is more indicative of the Texans last night than I do the Jets, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You look at the losses that the Texans have, They lost to the Vikings and got blown out on the road. Probably one of the best teams they've played. They did beat the Bills.
However,
at home they played in Houston. They beat the Bills by 3, but then they went to Green Bay, lost again, and then they played the Jets on the road. So they've lost 3 road games, which is a lot of the opposite of us. And they've lost to, dare I say, 2 of the 3 best teams they've played.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair to question. I said this immediately when they announced, obviously Stephon Diggs is towards ACL. He didn't play last night. He's done for the season. But I didn't like the addition because I said, you had such good chemistry offensively. You had such good play calling. CJ Stroud was so good at spreading the ball around. Why go add a guy that demands the ball? And right. I wonder if it messed up the chemistry of the offense. Now, I'm not blaming Stephon Diggs. I'm just asking the question. You add another cook to the kitchen. Did you have too many? CJ Stroud made one of the best throws on the run. 2 of them last night.
Oh, my goodness. The one along the near sideline. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable that he's able to do that. Another quarterback, Lamar Jackson, doesn't practice for the second time this week. They're facing off with the Broncos at home. Remember, the Ravens got upset by the Browns last week. Ravens 8-point favorites at home against the Broncos and Bo Nix this weekend. And here's what I'll say. Ravens seem to be headed in the wrong direction. The Broncos seem to be headed in the right direction with Bo Nix. And watching him throw the ball on the move, been pretty good. But it is interesting to me that Ravens 8-point favorites. And that one, I think that kind of speaks to the Broncos' run defense right now.
They're not. I disagree. The Ravens are not headed in the wrong direction. They lost.
What do you mean? They lost the Browns last week.
Yeah, coming, and they were on a 5-game winning streak,
okay.
And they went into a division game, which we have talked about how hard they are to win
on the
road.
That's true. That's tough.
And you know what? If you get an interim coach bounce, then how the hell don't you get a backup quarterback bounce?
They definitely do.
So,
and that's the second year in a row that team's gotten a backup quarterback bounce.
So I don't like to say that I think you're wrong, but I think you're wrong.
Fair enough.
Because to me, they just. You win 5 games in a row in the NFL. It's just so hard to do. So I just don't agree with that. I would tell you. Also, I got a question later on in the show that I want to ask you about NFL related. But I don't agree. I think that the Ravens can get right. They're a very good team defensively. Can they confuse Bo Nix? The thing for me is Lamar Jackson healthy?
Yeah,
he's missed 2 days of practice. This is a phenomenally good Broncos defense that we will face in 2 weeks from Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting showdown, and actually a pretty good one when you look at the matchup you'll have in Denver in a couple of weeks. Raiders at Bengals. Joe Burrow has come out. We mentioned the Dak Prescott comments. Joe Burrow's come out and said this is a must-win game for them. They got the Las Vegas Raiders at home, the 3-5 Bengals, the 2-6 Raiders, and the Bengals will be a 7-point favorite in that one. Joe Burrow's right, man.
Yeah, Burrow,
he's spot on. This is a must-win game. There's no doubt about it for the Bengals.
Yeah, they've been must-win for them for quite a while. He's also the Scrooge of Halloween.
Yeah, dude, his whole take on Halloween and the whole I don't like it, what are we celebrating thing, come on, man.
Well, dude. I've been thinking about this. I guess when you dress up every day in clown outfits like he does and does the
that's a good point.
He wants to dye his hair.
Yeah, he dresses up every day.
Every day is a dress-up day for Joe Burrow, so I guess Halloween is every day of the week for him.
And if you missed this, Joe Burrow comes out yesterday and he says, I don't really like Halloween, not a big Halloween guy. You know, I don't know what we're celebrating. What are we really celebrating? I don't like to celebrate for no reason. If you haven't already accepted Kirk Cousins as your quarterback here in Atlanta, and his conversation on the flip side of this was, I think it's the best day of the year. I think it's the best day of the year. But this is what my kids are dressing up as. This is what we're doing. The Halloween take way out of line by Joe Burrow, dude. Come on, man. Why are you Scrooging?
It kind of screamed, I'm too cool for school.
It did. You, dude. I hate to tell you when you're extremely right, but you are extremely right. That's twice. He's spot on. I know.
That's twice.
He's spot on. Another couple games coming up this weekend. You got Chargers. You got Browns. That one is in Cleveland. That's a 1 o'clock game. Cleveland be underdogs on their home turf, even with Jameis Winston giving all those cool pregame speeches. Dude, I've seen so many clips from Jameis Winston mic'd up over this past week when they get that knockoff win. He said something along the lines of, "Hey, man, play for the name on your helmet." Then he goes, "Well, we don't have logos or anything, but that's not the point." Oh my gosh, I love that guy, man. I don't know, like, it's not even as a player. I'm like, whatever, take it or leave it, man. But I could listen to that guy give pregame speeches all day.
Well,
it's like stand-up comedy, man.
Because it never makes sense.
I know.
Like,
I know.
He's like, you know, we're gonna go out here, and we're gonna go to this Mexican restaurant, and we're gonna have bone-in ribeyes. You're like, no Mexican restaurant has bone-in ribeyes, man. What are you talking about?
Real quick.
Well, we're going to get skirt steak, and we're going to like it. Like, what?
Real quick, man. Have you seen the line of the Saints-Panthers game? So we can be honest with me. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, now what would you guess?
The Saints
are in Charlotte. What would you guess is the line on that game this weekend?
Pick
at Bank of America Stadium.
Pick them.
No, it's not. It's not a pick
them. Okay,
it's actually a lot more slanted than that.
Saints are favored by 3.5.
Saints are favored by 7. In Charlotte this weekend.
They think Derek Carr's coming back now.
Well, not only that, but they are. They're, like I said last week, and I tried to pick them, and it went sour. But that team is getting back healthy. And the Panthers?
I hope you pick them again.
Who knows what they're going to do at the quarterback position.
Bryce Young, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Who knows who's playing quarterback for either squad, to be honest with you.
Ooh. This Army Air Force line is enticing.
Yeah, we're going to make those picks at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. We've got our picks at 8:20. We'll talk to Dave Archer. We'll have a Life of Squid later. But coming up next, we're going to do a special edition of Mic'd Up. I'm not hosting Fair Foul on this Fair Foul Falcons Friday, this Freaky Friday. I'm tired of Bo running off of the mouth in his room. Fair Foul hosted by Dylon Matthews. It's a Mike's Mafia versus Squid Nation edition of Fair Foul. But I won't rest until this man hushes.
But there's no.
I won't rest.
It's not a competition.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And?
The Odyssey app.
Voice okay?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Backward App Brigade here on the morning shift. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. We're going to get to Mic'd Up and Fair Foul in just 1 second. Just want to remind everybody that Sour brought to you by Zero Res Smart. Lasting clean. You're going to get the Hawks tonight against the Kings. Hopefully they can get back on track, man. Been a rough couple of days for them. Get swept by the Wizards earlier in the week. Home and away. I still believe in the Hawks. Hopefully they get it going. And then tomorrow I'll be in the house. Well, I'll be in the house in two places. First of all, I'm going to the pregame party at Buffalo's up in Hamilton Mill. Come hang out with me. Have an ice cold water, maybe an unsweet tea. I don't know. Don't want to go too crazy.
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
If you go, buy Mike a beer.
No,
and make him man up.
Look, and we're so, and then later on tomorrow night, courtesy of Squid Billy and some of his contacts, the wife and I will be in the house to see Lionel Messi take on Atlanta United. Then back at it, man, both of us on Sunday for the Cowboys, America's team, coming to house. Man, make sure we pack out Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Make sure we get it done. Make sure we get it done. Show up loud and proud. Wearing your red and black, man. Hopefully that crowd is really, really good on Sunday. All right, make sure you're screaming. And speaking of screaming, let's hit Fair Foul.
All right, fellas.
Let's do it.
Let's get it going.
I hope you come with the smoke, man.
I'm ready. I'm ready
to hear what
you guys
got. I don't ever get to play on this side of the fence, man. I'm ready.
I'm ready to hear what you guys got. All right, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. We know Dak Prescott's favorite target is CeeDee Lamb. So much so, he has 30 more targets. I believe it's 30 more targets, 30 more receptions. I'll tell you here in just a second. Then the next highest guy, which is the tight end, Jake Ferguson, who you guys were talking about earlier. So with that being said, A.J. Terrell probably going to see a lot of CeeDee Lamb. That matchup going to be prominent. With that being said, A.J. Terrell, fair or foul, gets an interception while covering CeeDee Lamb. Fair or foul, A.J. Terrell gets an interception while covering CeeDee Lamb.
I will start on this one. And first of all, don't bury the lead. For those of you that don't remember, and Bo and I were talking about this morning, these guys went 16-17 in the 2020 draft. So there was a lot of people maybe kicking around going, hey, Falcons need CeeDee Lamb. And you took A.J. Terrell right in front of him. I think it is probably foul just because the numbers don't stack up. Right, when you look at how long A.J. went without a reception, knew they'd come in bunches, two over the last 3 weeks. I think he's going to play extremely well against CeeDee Lamb, but I'm just going to say foul. I don't know that he'll get a pick. Maybe a tip ball landing in the hands of a Jesse Bates or Justin Simmons.
Well, those guys are normally the ones tipping them. I would say, because they're also ball hawks, so they've caught a couple of tips. I agree. Sure. I would like to say foul because it's not so simple. You know, this team doesn't necessarily match up and DBs with receivers. It's just not really something they like to do. They have. I've seen them do it this year.
Yeah, Randy talked about matches. You can't wait for the DK Metcalf AJ Terrell matchup.
But they don't do it. They don't necessarily just do it.
Right.
However, read that stat again, Dylon. He's got 45 catches on the season, which is like you said 30.
So yeah, I got it right here. So 45 receptions, 613 yards, 4 touchdowns. Lamb's 72 targets are 30 more than the next highest guy, which is tight end Jake Ferguson.
They force the ball to CeeDee Lamb, and that's not Dylan saying that. That's not in my opinion. Those are the numbers that bear that out. That said, AJ is feeling good.
Ooh, spicy.
He's like, man, I'm the mother. Man, I got paid,
I
didn't stop playing hard and working. I'm taking a pick.
Speaking of which, did you know that Carson Beck and Jake Ferguson are boyfriends-in-law? Somebody told me that yesterday. Didn't know.
The Cavender twins?
Boyfriends-in-law, yeah.
I did not know.
Boyfriends-in-law.
Yeah. And thanks for interrupting my point here. Random-ass facts.
Yeah, got to hurry.
For that part only, he gets a pick six.
AJ Terrell Tutty. An AJ Tutty.
Clip it, baby. Clip it.
AJ Tuttle.
I love it. All right. Let's go to what's going to be going down tomorrow. Trevor Etienne is going up against his old team, aka the Fighting Squidbillies, aka the Florida Gators. Trevor Etienne with the Georgia Bulldogs has not gone over 100 yards yet. So fair or foul, Trevor Etienne gets over the century mark for the first time in the red and black against his old team.
Do we know if Tate Ratledge is playing yet? Have we heard any news on that one? Because that would spark me to say over for
him,
sure.
Him being probable leads me down the road of that he is.
Okay.
But, you know, you never
know. With that being said, Tate Ratledge in the fold, if he is probable, then I am probably going to say that, yes, that he's going to go over 100 yards. Tate Ratledge, I don't want to say the best lineman in the country. I think he's top 10, though, man. He's going to do a lot for that offense moving forward. And Etienne, man's going to be hungry, Bo. He's going to be hungry. Feed him.
I'm going to go foul. I just don't think he's going to get enough touches for it. I think Florida's been better against the run the last few weeks than they have been. They've since that first bye, they have really changed things a lot. I just think the way they play offense, they like to throw the ball around a lot. They like to split carries. I say foul for those reasons. I mean, his most yards is 88 this year. That came on 16. His second most is 87, which came on 19. So, foul.
We'll get back to the ground game here in just a minute when it comes to the Falcons and Cowboys. But for right now, fair or foul, because today is actually National Calzone Day. I love to look at what national day it is. Today is National Calzone Day. Fair or foul? A calzone is just a fancy hot pocket when you think about it. It's folded.
How dare you?
It's kind of just folded up.
Do not make
it has all the pizza stuff in it.
Do not make me come behind the glass.
I get that.
I will.
I'm asking. Fair or foul? A calzone is a fancy hot pocket.
I'll hold him down.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I'm asking. No, it's a question.
No. Next question. We both say it's foul.
It's ridiculous.
It's a garbage question.
It's garbage.
Garbage.
I'm pretty sure that I know that I don't have an Italian name, but I've got to be of Italian lineage.
And for the record, I'm calling the question garbage.
Yes.
Nothing else. Dude, just the question.
I'm just telling you right now, there's never been a worse fair or foul question asked.
Wow.
All right, move along.
That's unfair.
A fancy hot pocket.
That's unfair. You've asked bad ones.
No,
before.
That means I know all the questions that have been asked.
Hold on. That's because you ask all of them.
I know.
So that's unfair. That's a foul. That's foul.
Okay.
But I will tell you this, if it's not the worst, because I'm pretty sure you've done as bad, it's top five worst of all time.
Man, I did not realize you guys were going to be this passionate about calzones. Yeah, goodness, I apologize.
Next question.
Let me get back to the run game as promised. A lot has been made about the Cowboys' poor run defense. They're giving up just about 156 yards per game on the ground. That is second worst in the NFL. the Falcons' run game obviously can be prominent when it wants to, and I think, as you guys have made the point, they want to run the ball first. So with that being said, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier both get over 100 yards on the ground.
No, I wish that I could say that that's definitely going to happen. I think they both have great days, and I think that they maybe as a combination have the most rushing yards they've had. I don't know what that number is, like what their high is together. As a tandem, what the high would be, but they're not both going to 100.
Well,
they came close, 3 weeks ago. I don't think that's going to be the game plan this week.
Yeah, the Panthers game. I think Tyler had 106, and Bijan had somewhere around 95.
Yep. Yeah,
I think it's foul, and that was a game where they were able to run. They went on a long drive running the ball there,
and that's what that game called for.
I think it's foul as well. I think you might have 150 to 170 yards rushing if things go well for you. But that doesn't equal two guys having 100 yards. I think it's foul. I'm not going to sit here and fanboy and say, yeah, everybody has 100.
I'm with you. You're not just dealing out 100 yard rushing games for two. That's hard to do in the NFL.
Yeah,
man.
It really is.
All right, we'll close this one out here. The Falcons obviously taking on a very good quarterback in Prescott. Some people think he's a top 10, others don't. And the two guys that include who don't think he's a top 10 are his teammates.
Where would you rank him among quarterbacks right now? I would say he's definitely top 10.
Higher.
You think he's top 5?
For sure. Who else you going to put in there?
Give us your top 5 right now.
I'm going to go him. I'm going to go Mahomes.
Mar. Got to have Mar.
Yeah, Lamar. Josh Allen. Jalen playing pretty good right now, too.
Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback right now.
And Matthew Stafford. I love how Matthew Stafford played a quarterback position.
Sam Darnold could be in the top 5 conversation right now.
Yeah, Sam Darnold looking crazy, too. So it's hard as a lot of good quarterbacks right now.
I can't give you a top 5 right now based on how everybody's performing.
So that was Trevon Diggs.
Prescott, too. I didn't hear that one.
And Micah. Oh. Yeah, exactly. You see where I'm putting down here? That was Trevon Diggs and Micah Parsons on Micah Parsons' podcast talking about, obviously, their top 5, top 10 quarterbacks. A name you do not hear was Dak Prescott.
The Dak attack. I think they're just too close to it, right?
Fair foul. Dak Prescott is not a top 10 QB.
I don't think currently he is, to be honest. And I know that you love when I'm honest. I don't think he currently is, man.
I'm just glad you don't sit here and lie to me.
We looked at our buddy Jeff Howe. We looked at his top rankings, and he was right there along with Kirk Cousins. I didn't agree with his Kirk Cousins take, but I don't think Dak's top 10 right now. There's a lot of good quarterback play in the NFL, man. And if Dak's not using his legs, he's not that guy right now.
First off, Dunn, I'll tell you, don't trust a guy that tells you. I'll be honest with you, because then I think, have you been lying to me the rest of the time? I mean, I'm confused.
Who do you trust more, Dunn? You know what I mean?
Well,
I trust you both equally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Genuine.
I think Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. He's a man on an island. See, that's what frustrated me, because I thought a lot of people, when you're not winning games, the quarterback gets all the blame. You look at the Cowboys offense. I mean,
he ain't getting helped up front right now. I'll just say that.
They're third in passing. Now they're not getting a lot out of those yards, but they're third in passing overall. He's doing things, but it's all on him. They can't run the football, and it makes him look a lot worse. Why is it that we can say Kirk's a top 10 quarterback right now the way he's playing? Because he's got a run game.
Right.
But then if we didn't, we'd be like, would we say Kirk's not a top 10 quarterback?
But that's all encompassing. Yes. It's all encompassing.
Dak is a top 10 quarterback. If you put Dak in Atlanta, he would be doing the same things that Kirk is.
Well, we got to go to break. Fair foul, Bo. Dylan did a good job on fair foul.
Well, he's close to getting a foul because of that calzone question.
Calzone,
but I think overall it's fair because he put thought and research into the questions, and that's all that can ask.
Taking this man to the nearest Italian spot.
Everybody gets a throwaway question.
I love calzones. I just thought it would be an interesting question to ask. I wonder where you guys stood on calzones,
I
know now.
You're talking yourself into a foul because I don't believe you love calzones if you ask that question.
We got to go to a break.
I want to know what y'all think.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to make our picks. I just heard from Bo last break. He said, I've never been more confident in going 4-0 in my picks this week.
I did not say that. I said
you
have
want to
no
hear
idea.
Ohio State, Penn State, maybe the Lions game this weekend. Stick around. Lions, Packers, we'll get all those picks in. It's coming up on the other side, Sports Radio, 910 The Game. My son loves this song, dude. My son loves this song. I don't know if it's like a Trolls thing or I don't know where we picked this one up along the way. My son loves this song, man. Sports Radio, 910 The Game. Backward Hat Brigade version of the morning shift. Mike and Bo hanging out. Man, we're going to get to our picks in just a second. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Bo said, I've never been more confident 4-0 on the docket.
Okay,
this weekend.
First
man.
Off, stop lying to the people. Second off, I have a question before we get to our picks.
All right.
And I almost did something that you despise that I do, is the TVs are on in here, and we're watching highlights, and it was the NFL Blitz segment, and they showed the Garrett Wilson, they're calling it the Jumpman touchdown, which is a phenomenal catch, but they had to review it. They called it incomplete at first. It was out of bounds. They review it. They say he's in. Why was that a catch when the George Pickens ones that was 2 weeks ago wasn't?
It's the shin.
Hear me out. The George Pickens catch was ruled incomplete because he got the same leg down twice.
Right.
However.
Which I don't disagree with that. I mean, I disagree with that rule.
I disagree with it, too. If you get 2 feet down, 2 feet down, doesn't matter if it's the same foot or not. They came up. It goes down and comes up and goes down again. Garrett Wilson, did he not get the 1 foot down? Because the left foot goes up. If I'm not mistaken, if I watch it right, the left foot goes up. Unless I'm seeing it wrong. And then the knee or the shin comes down.
Yeah.
Now, I know a shin or two knees or an elbow equal 2 feet.
Yeah.
But so that makes three. Is that why?
No. Well, the shin itself is all you needed.
It's the same equals leg. 2 feet. I know,
but the shin, it can be one shin. The shin is like an elbow.
I get it, but it's still the same leg.
Okay.
Why did George
Pickens? I'm telling you is it doesn't matter if it's the same leg if there's a shin involved. It only matters if it's the same foot.
He's saying a shin equals 2 feet.
I get that. So it's technically there's three. So it's good. But George Pickens got 2 feet down.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Not the same thing.
But why? But that's my thing. I'm going Abe here. I'm getting like angry, and I'm not meaning to, but I don't understand why 2 feet. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think the 2 feet to your point should mean you're in, but it doesn't.
But see, I agree with you there, Mike. But I don't understand why it can be
why one shin equals 2 feet.
No, I know that. John Madden told me that, so I understand that. But what I'm saying is if it can't be the same leg or the same foot twice down, why can the shin of the same leg that is attached to the 1 foot that got down be okay too? Unless you're just going by the old shin is all that matters and it's just 2 feet, so automatically it trumps the 1 foot.
That's what I'm going by. Yeah. That's
whatever. Let's do the picks, Dylan. You got the music ready for us?
I don't know how else to say that. I don't think we're speaking the same language right now.
I think you've actually convinced me. I'm just
like a shin is 2 feet. I don't know. It just is what it is.
You know what might have happened? I'm too smart for all my own good.
Is that what?
I just confused myself.
Prove your smartness with your picks right
My intelligence. I have nothing. I still don't have my NFL pick yet. I don't. Luckily,
that's
Dylan,
not good.
Luckily, Dylan gives us 2 picks we have to start with, and because I believe in going in order, unlike Rob Tribble, I know Rob's listening, who just goes every which way. I say we start with college because the college games go first, Michael.
Yeah.
So let's start with the game that Dylan has forced us to pick, which we asked him to do. This isn't a communist run show.
Holding you all against your will.
Yeah.
So Dylan, who's not a commie, told us that we needed to pick Ohio State at Penn State, and it's -3. Ohio State is a 3-point favorite going in to Happy Valley.
Yeah.
And a whiteout, I believe. I know it's a noon game, so I don't know if they can do a whiteout.
They did the whiteout, but I think a lot of their T-shirts say noon games suck. Their white T-shirts
they
say
do
noon
suck.
Games suck.
I mean, I love noon games, but not #3 versus number 4.
Big noon kickoff gets the pick. They get to pick what time that game slot's going to be, so there you go. That's how it is in the Big Ten, man. So I'll go first picking this one.
Good, because you're going to go first.
Ohio State, you mentioned 3-point favorites. Now, the Fighting Mike Contis at Penn State, the wideout, I love it, man. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think that Penn State is as good as they have been in a long time. I think that, no matter who's at quarterback, this team is more well-rounded than they've been in a long time. but it's a prove-it game for me for Penn State. And until Penn State shows me that they can beat the Ohio States of the world in these massive Saturday matchups and a top-five showdown, I'm not going to believe it. The line's close enough to me to where I'm enough of a believer in the talent that Ohio State brings that I'm going to have to go with Ohio State minus the 3 points in this one. Even on the road, even in the wideout, even if Drew Aller plays, they're just simply more talented. They haven't played up to their talent, but they have more talent. Until Penn State shows me that they can win in these matchups, Ohio State for me all day long.
I'm going to give you a quick history lesson. Dylan, start the clock. Give me 25 seconds.
Wait, I'm going to get one of those little hourglasses in here. You know what I mean? Like one of those 30-second
hourglasses. 2 years ago, a more talented Ohio State team came into play Penn State, and a noon kickoff, big noon kickoff. The game was dead even. They didn't have Drew Aller at quarterback, who they might not have. One player took the game over. His name was Marvin Harrison Jr. He's no longer there. Give me Penn State,
ooh,
minus the three.
Ooh.
Fight Mike Conte's.
Under right. 25 seconds, too impressive.
I don't mind it.
Well, the countdown really did help because I was able to get there quickly. All right.
More often.
You get your own college pick. Whatever game you want, Mike. I won't hold you to any game. You can pick whatever you want.
Let me ask you a question. Have any of these guys, even the guys behind the glass, have y'all seen the Tennessee uniform reveal for Saturday night against Kentucky?
I have.
It is. I think it might be the best uniform reveal video I've ever seen. Have you seen it?
No, I don't.
Dude,
care.
It might be they're blacking out Saturday night in Knoxville in Neyland. They are far and away more talented than Kentucky. The line is 17, 17 and a half, whatever you want to put it. Kentucky, we love the blue-collar version and the Mark Stoops. They're not playing that way. I think Tennessee runs them out of the stadium on Saturday night, gets it done. Tennessee minus 17, wearing the all-black unis after the reveal video, fireworks going on, Neyland Stadium, the whole thing's rocking. Tennessee, I love it, man. Tennessee minus the points against Kentucky this weekend.
Tennessee minus the points. Boy, I can't wait till you're wrong on that one. Kentucky's got something to prove. I'm not picking that game, however.
Kentucky's had their chances to prove things. They haven't proved anything.
Air Force at Army. Our very own Tiffany Blackman is on the sidelines for this game. The over-under.
I didn't know she was at that one.
The over-under. You don't listen to her. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
That's fair.
The over-under is 41.5. Army has scored 42 or more in 5 of their 7 games.
Okay.
They've scored 35 or more in 6 of their 7. Bryson Daly, the quarterback, not Dyson Daniels, has got 26 total touchdowns, 19 of them rushing. Pick Army if you want with the cover. I don't care. I don't do covers in some of these games. I'm telling you to pick the over 41.5. The over 41.5. Army might do it themselves. Mm. All right. I have to do an NFL pick, Michael. We got to do this a little bit quicker than not. Lions at Packers is the game that Dylan has asked us to pick. The Lions are a 2.5-point favorite, and I will tell the – no, I'll just let you pick. I want you to make your pick on record.
He keeps making me go first. If you notice this, I like that. All right, here's the thing. I picked against the Lions when they were playing the Cowboys just a couple of weeks ago, right? And I was like, man, you know what? Dallas ain't going to let that happen. I was wrong, but I'm going back to the well. When you look at this, Lions at Packers, they're in Lambeau. Lions 2.5-point favorite. I don't like that line, man. It tells me that the Packers got something cooking. I don't know what they're going to get out of Jordan Love. I don't even know if he's playing. All right, but Jordan Love and the Packers, if he's probable, he says he thinks he can play. He thinks it's realistic. Give me the Packers at home upsetting the Lions this weekend. Packers plus 2.5.
You ready? I don't know what Jordan Love's going to do, and I don't think Malik Willis, if he has a play, is ready for Detroit with or without Aiden Hutchinson. Mm. Detroit might be the best team in the trenches in the NFL. If they're not, they are gosh darn close to it. Give me the Lions minus the 2.5. This is the only way I'm going to pass Mike is to go against Mike.
Mm.
Mm. Mike. Hey, Mike.
Mm.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what day is it?
What's your NFL
Falcons
pick?
Friday.
Your other NFL pick.
Speaking of Falcons Friday, for my NFL lock of the week, I'm going straight down to the bins. No, I'm not taking the Falcons. I wish I was. I don't feel that confident. But I am going with the over-under in the Falcons-Cowboys game. 51.5 is the number. Now, that begs me to say, you know what, man? Falcons, 30 points, 3 of their last 4 games. Dallas, maybe the passing attack gets us. We can't rush the passer. No! No! Vegas knows all those things, Dylon. I'm going under 51.5. Both these teams will start slow. It might be 0-0 after the first quarter before the Falcons pull away. Under 51. Falcons-Cowboys, lock it up.
I actually like that a lot. Boom. I actually like that a lot.
All right, real quick. I had a lot of struggle and had a lot of time to look over this, and I still am not loving my pick. Bears at Cardinals. Both these teams have dynamic quarterbacks. They can score. They're both coming off very tight and well-contested games. The over-under is 44.5. You can throw that out. I'm going over. I am going the over. I think I'm going to pick the over in the 44.5. I just don't like that. I don't like the under there. I think maybe more about 48 points will be scored.
I like that. I like that. I like where you're going with that. We're not always on the same page. All right, we got to go to break, man. We're always late. We're always late. And coming up next is my favorite segment of the week, to be honest with you. And I know that you like when I'm honest with you. Dave Archer joins us, Atlanta Falcons analyst. He's going to tell all y'all why I'm wrong and that the Falcons themselves will hit the over this weekend by themselves. 52-0, Dave Archer said. No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk to him on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Where we're honest with you.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 824 here on the Morning Shift. It's just Mike and Squid. It's just Mike and Squid hanging out here on Sports Radio 92.9. What's going on, man?
Hey, when you said Morning Shift, it felt like you left an F out. I was like, yeah. What?
No. And I know that we've been, listen, some people have called me out on that before. We're going to get to the Falcons and Cowboys, man. And then we're going to talk to our buddy Dave Archer, the Atlanta Falcons radio analyst. Arch, me and Bo, man, a couple dogs off the leash this morning, trying to drive the bus and keep this Falcons Friday going. What's going on with you, buddy?
Hey, good to hear you guys' voices. Look forward to talking a little Falcons football with you. The Cowboys coming to town. Everything's good, man. Looking forward to a good football weekend.
Arch, I want to start with this one, man. One of these stats that kind of hits you over the head when you look at the Falcons' recent run of success, when you look at October and what the ground game has been. I saw this stat earlier. Warren Sharp had this. 43.7% of the Falcons' running plays have gained 5 or more yards. 43% have gained 5 more yards. Bijan's been special on the ground. He's been special through the air. Tyler Allgeier has a role as well. You talked to Kirk, and we played it earlier, his comments on this offensive line and being creative about getting Bijan the ball. What's been the key to success, really, when you look at this running game over the last few weeks?
Well, I think the specialness that the two backs bring to the table, certainly, Mike, is part of it, but there is a good part of it. But I think the offensive line and the way they've played, I think that, you know, we were a little concerned when Ryan Neuzel had to come in as the backup center. I think he's done yeoman's work there. You've been able to keep that group together for the most part, other than Neuzel has been that new guy in the center spot, and he's held it down. And I think that group has grown together as a unit. We know, we talk about it all the time, the most cohesive unit on a football team is the offensive line, and certainly it perpetuates itself into and manifests itself into something bigger than that if they can all stay on the field and play together for multiple games in a row without losing guys. And I know McGarry's been a little banged up, and I heard you guys talking a little bit about McGarry yesterday in that you feel like he's having one of his better seasons of his career. And I think that would be correct. I think he's done some really good stuff, and I don't know whether the injury has kind of limited him to where his mindset is that I, you know, let me not try to do too much or whatever it is. But he's done an excellent job up front. But I just think it's a combination, and I think that you got Zach Robinson, a play caller that's kind of developed. We've talked about this all season long about everybody kind of growing together and kind of getting to know one another and all that kind of stuff. And it's all here by midpoint of the year. We're starting to see that come together. I asked Raheem about how much of the game plan or maybe you've gotten into the playbook as far as offense and defense goes. And he says it ebbs and flows obviously with who you're playing, but they've gotten into a good bit of what they want to do and who they want to be from an identity standpoint. We talked about that a good bit too. So I think it's a combination of all that stuff.
Arch, when you see a guy like CeeDee Lamb, who I know you get to pay a lot of attention to because he was an Oklahoma guy and you did a lot of Big 12 radio. But with a guy like CD, I asked Mike this earlier, and I think I can't remember if we were on the air yet. We were talking about stuff. Is this the guy that you basically say, I'm going to let you get yours? Or do you just continue to play like you've had, where you let teams dink and dunk on you and say, we're not changing who we are, no matter who's across from us? Because he's done well in two games against Atlanta, granted different coaching staff and players, but he has done well when he sees the red and black show up.
Yeah, he's done well just about anybody against anybody. But when you go back and you look, these the Ram, we talked a little about this on Monday. This staff, meaning the offensive staff, defensive staffs for these two teams, Jimmy Lake and Zach Robinson, were part of offensive and defensive staffs in L.A. They saw the Cowboys last year. In fact, they've seen the Cowboys 2 years in a row, and Dallas has won both games. And last year, CD went off. He had 12 grabs for 160 yards and two touchdowns against that Ram defense. And so I know you're playing different personnel, but it's similar scheme. And Dak had a lot of success as well, threw four touchdowns in that game. So that part of it, you know CB's going to get his. And I don't think you worry about that. I think that they do a good job of game planning to get him the football. They move him a lot. Around a lot like we do with Drake and with Darnell Mooney. So he's going to get opportunities to catch a football regardless of what you're doing defensively. The biggest thing is you don't want anybody else to touch you up if you can. You know, limit their run game, which they've struggled running the football. I know you guys have talked a great deal about that. I like their tight ends. I think Jake Ferguson is a guy that can hurt you and beat you. So he's a guy you got to pay attention to. And then just don't let Kevontae Turbin have a big play. Don't let Tolbert have a big play, because Lamb, they're going to find a way to scheme to get Lamb the football. He's just that kind of player, good player. He had 125 grabs last year, almost 1,800 yards. He's going to get catches.
Well, David, I want to follow up on that too, because I wanted to ask, and you kind of just answered it, but is that a quarterback thing where Dak kind of just locks in on a CD, or how much of that is design and how much of that is the fact that as Dak Prescott progresses, that maybe he doesn't feel like there's a lot of good options right now, specifically because you're not running the ball, right? No guys, play action's not working very well. How much of that is a Dak thing on the targets for him being so much more than everybody else, and how much of it is a scheme thing?
No, I think you're right on the nose. I thought that if you go back and you look at the 49er game, I thought that he tried to get Ferguson the football a little bit more. I think Ferguson had six grabs in the game, but you know, limited yardage. He only had like 20, 25 yards in the game, so there was limited there. I think he's tried to sprinkle the ball to the backs a little bit, running the football or throw the football to them. But, yeah, it's about CD Lamb. CD Lamb had 13 catches for 150 yards and two touchdowns against the 49ers last week. You know, and what did he have? I'm going back. I'm trying to look at my numbers here as far as completion. He had 25 completions. So 13 of his 25 completions are the same guy. And you're dead on. You're exactly right. He's locking in on one dude. Is that because McCarthy, the way McCarthy's calling plays, it's kind of steering him that direction? Or do they feel like, you know, guys can't make – there's nobody can make any plays around them? It's an interesting dilemma that they have, but fortunately it's their dilemma.
Falcons radio analyst, former Falcon, and my personal friend, Dave Archer, who – you all right there, Arch? You good?
Yeah, struggling a little bit with that.
He's getting ready to make that call on those putties this weekend. That's all. Yeah.
Dave Archer joining us here on the morning shift. Arch, I ask you what I think might be stupid questions all the time. And I know that, you know, sometimes you've told me offensively you got a playmaker that's maybe out of rhythm and not making the plays he normally makes, right? And you can kind of scheme up to get him, kind of get him going. Matthew Judon on the other side is an edge rusher who came in, I think, a sack and a half in like the first two or three games at the most. It took him three games to get a sack and a half, and he's been quiet since. Is there a way to get a guy like an edge rusher, a really good edge rusher like in the past Judon has been, is there a way to get him going? Is there a way to scheme that up, or does it just have to happen organically?
Well, I think that the bulk of it has to happen, Bo. I think that you're talking about a guy that has not been winning his one-on-one battles. And that's what you try to do. If you're going to scheme something for an edge rusher, you're trying to create a one-on-one situation for him. And he's had a number of one-on-one situations since he's been here. You mentioned he got off to a decent start, but it's been pretty lean here over the last several weeks. And if you go back and look at the tape, I mean, he's got one-on-one opportunities, just not winning. And in all honesty, Arnold Ebiketie has been around the quarterback. Now, he's not putting him on the ground, but he's been around the quarterback maybe a little bit more than Judon's been. Now, Judon's done some other stuff. I think Judon's done a decent job in the run game on the edge. So that is that part of what they're doing defensively from a scheme standpoint? I know they want to turn him loose on third down and let him go get the passer, but he's also dropping off in coverage some. I think he did some of that in New England as well, but Is he being used a little bit differently here than maybe just, you know, teeing off and going and getting the passer? Do you give him a few more opportunities like that? But I don't know that there's anything else that Jimmy Lake can do for Matthew Judon other than create some one-on-one opportunities, which he's getting. And now it's just up to him with his ability, you know, to go get the passer. And this is where you get a little concerned as to where he is in his career. Is he still have the ability to go do that?
Yeah, finishing up here with Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst. Dave, we got about 30 seconds, but today officially Kirktober has come to a close. Now we're hoping for a Kirk Vember, if you will. What can Kirk do to make sure that he stays hot and this passing game stays hot? I mean, I know it's as simple as saying do the same things that got you there, but there's a little bit different teams coming down the stretch here. What are you looking for Kirk through November?
Well, I love his preparation, Mike. I think he does such a good job of understanding what teams are doing. This is a Mike Zimmer defense. Obviously, he's very familiar with Mike Zimmer and what they like to do defensively, and that's really what it is. It's a matter of studying and doing the things that you know, or looking in on the things that people do. But this is a defense in Dallas. It's a little banged up in the back end. They're a little banged up up front. You got to make sure you take advantage of it. But really just do the things you're capable of doing. You just said it. You know, it's continue to do the distribute. He says, I'm a point guard. I'm going to distribute the ball. Keep distributing the ball. He's got guys who can go make plays.
There you go. Hopefully we can see that this Sunday. Dave, thanks for hanging out with us, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Y'all take care. See you. All right,
man. That's Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons radio analyst, man. He'll be in the booth Sunday when the Cowboys come to town. Hopefully we can get that red and black rolling. We got to go to break, man. Been a lot of fun on this show. We're going to get a Life of Squid coming up next. What we got? Sounds like we got Bader Law.
Dak Prescott, he had some words that should maybe worry Falcons fans of how the Cowboys see this football game on Sunday. Next on the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, finishing up here on the morning shift, the Backward Hat Brigade, Mike and Bo. Been a lot of fun today, man. It's been honestly a fun week, a great weekend of sports coming up. You got Hawks versus Kings tonight. You'll hear that right here on 92.9 The Game. Tomorrow you'll have United against Miami. That will also be here on 92.9 The Game. That kicks at 7. You'll get pregame at 6 o'clock. You'll also tomorrow hear Ohio State, Penn State. I know Mike Conte moved some things around to get that one done. This hour brought to you by
No. He asked me. Now that Michael asked me every once in a while, hey, what do you think about playing these games? I'm like, heck yeah. He asked me about one, and I was like, yes, Mike. Why are you asking me? You know the answer.
Yeah.
You're smart.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I will be at Buffalo's tomorrow for the pregame for Georgia and Florida. I'm guessing you'll be bellying up to a bar or a grill getting ready to watch that one as well. And then tomorrow night I'll be in the bins for Atlanta United, man. I'm stoked about the weekend I have coming up.
It's a weird weekend for me. We got the tournament today, the Passion Foundation, John Parla. Shout out to John.
Have to grease the hips up, get a little golf swing going.
You're going to play with me, playing with my neighbor, and then another guy that I've known for years is going to get to play with us. Then tomorrow I got asked to play, and we have an engagement party tomorrow night for my neighbor that goes on vacation with us.
Right.
One of them, anyways. And it's a weird day because I got asked to play golf at 10:20.
Ooh, and you're going to try to fit it all in.
Then you have,
oh boy.
And then you have Florida Georgia at 3:30.
Okay.
And then you have engagement party.
Wow. Three events in one day, especially when one of them's golf. That's big.
I know.
You're going to lead off with golf.
I don't know, man. I'm so torn. And I don't.
You get an IV Sunday morning.
might need more than IV. I don't even know what I'm wearing to this engagement party. I don't know. And when I say that, I know you're looking at me like, dude, you're a dude. But I don't know the dress code.
That's always tough.
I don't know the dress code.
Yeah,
is it suit? I hope not.
Is it
button up and sports coat? I hope not. You know?
Yeah, I went to a wedding out in Colorado one time, and the dress code said something like, cowboy casual or something. And I was like, what is that even? Like, what are we even talking about?
You dress like a casual cowboy.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like, yeah, but I'm with you. I don't know what this always means.
Texas tuck, you know, with
to what?
The casual cowboy look would be the Texas tuck With cowboy boots, but no cowboy hat. You can just wear like a trucker hat.
What about
right?
What if it was Western? Maybe it was like Western formal because I know we were in suits.
Well, then you got to have a bolo like Abe's
hat. Yeah, not doing that.
I love Abe's hat. Falcons rise up.
Yeah, yeah.
Falcons rise up. Yeah.
That's right. Well, W sauce, fire Shire, breakfast sauce too. Bloody Mary mix, Garrett Chapman approved. My friends at New Realm and the Owl Inn Lager. Hoo-hoo! Kennesaw State, baby. They've already played this week. So, yeah, that's where it's at. And the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic on November 25th. We are 24 days away. 24 days away. And there are still limited, and I mean limited spots, Mike. I mean, there is not a lot. I'm gonna hit the update real quick, and make sure I'm on my page that there hasn't more slots gone away. But there's very few slots. Okay, we do have some special swag bags for these, and they have sizes that you need to get the right size for your gear. So do it today. Don't wait because you don't want to get a shirt or a hoodie or whatever it may be in their bag that doesn't fit you. And you would know all about that.
For sure.
Falcons, Cowboys, Sunday. Kickoff is at 1:02 p.m. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I do not know if the roof will be open, but based on what happened the last time, I hope it's not.
Yeah, same.
I hope we fill the seats up. I know it's going to be a packed house. There are going to be Cowboys fans there because they travel well. You know, they haven't won at home.
Do you think they travel well, or do you think there's just a lot of Cowboys fans that already live here?
I mean, six one way, half a dozen
I'm
the
just
other.
Curious.
Does
I'm
it
just
matter?
Curious your thoughts.
I mean, I think combination. I think
well,
they
you
have
said
a
they
lot.
Travel well.
I think they have a lot of fans. I think they're a heritage
spread
team
all over the place.
That has a lot of fans, and they used to be bandwagon fans, and they just bought enough gear they couldn't get rid of it in the '90s. I don't know why. I mean, they had plenty of time. They've been through a lot has changed since 1995. Mm. Last time they actually won a Super Bowl. Anyways. Their backs are against the wall. They're coming in here. And Dak Prescott was asked if this is a must-win game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, every game is. But obviously, I mean, I'd get 3-4. As I've said, a lot of seasons left. But the first start to be able to say that confidently is getting back even. Especially, right, having a couple home ones after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the urgency this team has. That should scare Falcons fans. And you know what else that should do? That should wake Falcons fans up.
Mm.
And you should be awake. Sunday at 1:02, not like that Seattle crap. Come in there awake, and the team's got to come with energy, and you need to come with energy, and we need to put this game away as a conference game.
Let's go.
They matter.
Let's go.
You never know. You never know.
Let's go.
You never know. You never know. Get to 6-3, and then we have a showdown with New Orleans, which would put us, if we won, would be at 5-0. These are important games. You go on the road the next 2 weeks before the bye, and New Orleans and Denver.
Let's go.
Not easy places to go. And Derek Carr will be back by that time in New Orleans. And Denver has could be 6-3 after this weekend. So
I'm
let's
ready.
Get after
I'm
it.
Ready.
Let's be ready to go. Let's be in our seats. Let's be loud. I don't care if you're drunk. Just don't fight people. But be rowdy and loud. And let's freaking go. Let's beat
you
Dallas.
You hear the man.
Let's beat Dallas.
You hear the man. Squid Billy says make sure you get there early and make sure you rise up, man.
Because what the Falcons do, Michael?
We rise up.
Rise
we rise up.
Up.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun today,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Falcons rise up.
On the morning shift today. Hey, when we come back, we'll find out what's going on in the steakhouse. I know Sandy's back there in the bullpen. It's a Falcons Friday here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.